Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm into my second week of teaching on how to fulfill your destiny. And I tell you, I am excited about this series because this is something that unless you live your life with a sense of destiny, it's impossible for you to fulfill your destiny. You have to be aware that God created you with a purpose, that you are not a mistake, you aren't an accident, you are designed by God. And I've already used a lot of scriptures on this. I've used a couple of examples. The Apostle Paul said he was separated unto the gospel from his mother's womb in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 1, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and said, "Before I formed you in your mother's belly, before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations." I've shown how that it's not in ourselves to just pick and choose our own thing, but we have to be dependent upon God out of Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. We've been through a lot of scriptures already to make this point that you do have a destiny. And you cannot fulfill it accidentally. You have to discover what it is. And then once God sets this goal in front of you, it takes effort. It's not by your might and by your power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that is going to make you succeed and fulfill your destiny. But it does take a determination on your part. It does take a commitment. If you just do the easiest thing, if all you do is sit down and become a couch potato and just sit there and let somebody else feed you and you don't take responsibility, you don't get in and stir yourself up and seek the Lord, I can guarantee you, you will not accidentally fulfill the destiny that God has for you. I think that that is super, super important. So I've already used those two examples about Paul and Jeremiah and how that they had a destiny and God revealed to them that it happened from their mother's womb. Look at this. This is in Luke chapter 1 when the angel appeared unto Zacharias, who was one of the priests, and he was going about his duty in the temple. And as he was there, an angel appeared unto him. And here's what the angel said unto Zacharias. I'm not going to give you the whole thing. But in verse 14, Luke 1:14, it says, "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Talking about Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. They were now old, but she had been barren, and they had always wanted a child, and they had never had one, and they had been praying for a child their entire life, and the angel said, "You are going to have a child." And so in verse 15, he says, "He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." Now, see, here's the angel prophesying, giving the instructions to Zacharias about this miraculous child who we now know is John the Baptist, and telling him how to raise John the Baptist, that he would have a Nazarite vow where he didn't drink wine or strong drink, and giving him direction. Now, this is not, as I countered last week, this is not as the sovereignty people teach, that it was something that he couldn't have done this. Zacharias and Elizabeth could have voided these instructions and could have trained him differently. John the Baptist had a choice. He could have gone differently. I used scriptures last week out of 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 13, where Samuel told Saul that, you know, God had raised him up. And if Saul would have obeyed God that day and have not rebelled and done his own thing, then the Lord said, "I would have established your house over Israel forever." Now, that was God's destiny. That was God's will. But Saul had a choice in this matter. John the Baptist had a choice here. This isn't saying that this is something that he could not avoid. It is prophesying what was going to happen. It's important that I make that distinction because we have so many people today that are just really messed up in their thinking to think that God just moves and controls everything like a chess piece and that we have no choice in the matter. And that is absolutely wrong. That is a faith killer. That is a destiny killer because it takes away all motivation on your part to seek God and to find out anything. After all, whatever will be. God's will automatically come to pass. That's wrong. That is wrong. Amen. I'm sure I've already made this point, but I want you to know that's wrong. That is one of the worst doctrines in the body of Christ, and it is pervasive today. So here is the angel Gabriel saying that he shall neither eat, drink wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. You know, this is a side issue here. I don't want to spend my whole program on this, but boy, it is so imperative today that, you know, Christians are letting the world form their opinions, and they don't let the Bible influence much of what they believe. But a child, when they are conceived in the womb, is a human being. They are not a fetus, a hunk of flesh that it's up to the mother whether she can abort them or not. It is another person. Once you conceive, you are carrying the life of another person. And if you abort that person, it's murder. That's the only way that you can look at that. Somebody says, how can you say that? Because this right here says that he will be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Do you think that God just fills a hunk of tissue? The Holy Spirit only indwells people. He doesn't indwell animals. He doesn't indwell other forms of life. He indwells people. And for the Holy Spirit to come and indwell John the Baptist when he was 6 months along in this pregnancy, he wasn't even physically born. He wasn't out of the womb yet, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Boy, that is a tremendous statement from the Bible about whether this is just a hunk of flesh, a fetus, or whether it's a regular person. And you find over here that when Mary appeared, that Elizabeth said in verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, this is talking about John the Baptist, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And this is when John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit. So this shows that at 6 months into the pregnancy, here's John the Baptist leaping for joy. A six-month-old fetus is the way the world would say it, but a six-month-old person, the way that the Bible says it, that's still in the womb, had joy. And you know, you will often hear the excuse, well, this is just a hunk of flesh. It can't feel anything. It doesn't have any awareness of anything. Here is John the Baptist, 6 months into the pregnancy, 3 months before he was born, experiencing joy and leaping for joy. If you abort a baby, that baby has pain. And you know what? When they had the Roe versus Wade decision, they didn't have any scientific proof on this. And so our liberal courts, just in the absence of any physical, tangible proof, chose to make the statement that a baby isn't a viable human being until it can live outside of the womb. But now science has progressed, and there are documentaries that I've seen, one entitled The Silent Scream, and it has proven that a baby, when it's aborted, has feeling. And it shows the baby recoiling in pain and showing all of this. You are killing a living human being when you have an abortion. That is not meant to discourage or hurt or condemn anybody who's already done that, but it is meant to give you the truth so that you won't murder a living person. Amen. Like I said, I could preach on that a lot longer, but he would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So here is the angel Gabriel prophesying and saying, here's what John the Baptist is going to do. Not in a sense that John had no choice in it, but here was what God's will and what God's plan was. And we know from Scripture that John the Baptist did cooperate with this, and he fulfilled his destiny. But the reason I bring this out is to once again show that God doesn't just look around when a person gets to be 20 years old, looks at you, and how have you developed? What skills do you have? And he just arbitrarily chooses and says, well, I think I'll use you over here, and I think we'll do this and that. No, before you were ever born. This is before Elizabeth even conceived, because Zacharias was still in the temple getting these instructions. He hadn't gone home, and Elizabeth was not a virgin birth like Mary's birth of Jesus. Elizabeth had physical relationships with Zachariah. He hadn't left the temple yet. He hadn't gone home. He hadn't had time to have the physical relationship with his wife yet. So this is before she had even conceived John the Baptist. Here's the angel saying this is predetermined. This is preordained. Now, that doesn't mean that it's automatically going to happen. I could get off and teach about this because predestination has been twisted and perverted in the church today to mean that it's something that you have no choice in. It's just automatic. And that's not what the Scripture teaches. I'm not going to go there. I could do that. But that is not what it means. John had a choice to play. And again, I could go back and refer to Saul and so many other people that the Scripture clearly said, here was my will for you, but you disobeyed. Now it's not going to happen. I'm going to have to raise up somebody else to get the job done. God does not just force His will upon you, but He does have a will or a destiny for every single person. And just like John the Baptist, just like Paul, just like Jeremiah, it was ordained for you before you were ever born. You know, we ordain people to the ministry. And when I ordain them, I lay hands on them and we prophesy over them and we say, thus saith the Lord, God is going to do this. And like, you know, one of these Destiny series videos that we're going to be showing you through this series is about Leland Shores. And I remember when I ordained him, I said, God is going to give you supernatural favor. You are going to stand before the king, the president and the first lady of Uganda. And you are going to literally have favor and you're going to get to meet them. I prophesied this over him. And there was no way in the natural that this could come to pass. And did you know I was privileged in the summer of 2008 to actually be in Uganda when that prophecy came to pass. And I got to be with Leland when he walked in and met the president and first lady of Uganda. And everything I said and prophesied came to pass. I mean, I talked to the first lady for 10 or 15 minutes. I introduced Leland. And when Leland opened up his mouth, there was supernatural favor. She just forgot me. She focused in on Leland. And I mean, there was a connection made. Normally, she never sat with anybody for over 15 or 20 minutes. We stayed there for nearly an hour. And I actually tried to get out, like I didn't want to impose on her time. It was late in the evening when we could even get an audience with them. And I gave her the opportunity, and she didn't want to leave. There was a supernatural connection. It was awesome. And what I'm saying is, see, I ordained that, but that didn't mean that it was just going to come to pass regardless. If I hadn't have cooperated, if Leland hadn't have cooperated, it wouldn't have come to pass. So when God preordains something, that means that He has a purpose and a destiny for you, but you have to cooperate to make it come to pass. And if you don't have a sense of purpose and knowing what your destiny is, let me just pose this question to you. How can you possibly fulfill it? You know, take this as an example. That right now here in the U.S., we have around 200 employees. What if these employees just came to work and they had no sense of what their destiny, their purpose was? They just knew that they were supposed to be here working, but they didn't have a job assignment. And every day they just come and it's whatever they want to do. And they just feel that they'll just naturally fall into things and things will just automatically work. You know what? If the person behind the camera that is filming this was the same person that cleans our floors out here and cleans the toilet, which that's a necessary job and it's an important part. I mean, God wants us to take care of the facility that He's given us, and I'm not putting that down, but I'm saying it's a different skill, set of skills. What if we just had the custodian come in here and run the camera today? I can guarantee you this program would not be the same as it is right now. And what if we had the people that answer the phones that all of a sudden decided to start doing all of the accounting? You know, the people that answer the phones, that's a very important part of what goes on here. And I mean, we see tremendous things happen. But what if they just came in and they stumbled? I mean, when they walked in the building, it's actually closer to go to our accounting department than it is to out here where our phone center is in the back of the building. And so what if they just took the easiest, the closest thing, and they just went in there and they decided that today they were going to balance the books and that they were going to start doing that? It wouldn't be very long until we'd be in a mess of, of trouble, and we'd probably get thrown in jail. Some things would happen. It just wouldn't work that way. What if the people that run our accounting department all of a sudden decided they were going to go out and answer the phones today? You know, we have quite a process that we go through. I think it's a 2 or 3 week process before people can even start taking orders on our phones. And before they can start ministering to people and praying with them, they have to go through all of the customer service is what we call it, where they take orders, and they have to do that for like 6 months period of time. And while they're there, get training, and it takes quite a step before a person on our phones gets to a place that they start praying and ministering to people. And because of it, I tell you what, we have one of the best phone centers that you could ever find anywhere. People's lives are being changed. We're always getting compliments. Those people have been trained. They have a purpose. They've put effort into it. If we just had the first person that walked into the building, the people that work in production out here and make the CDs and put them in the envelopes and know how to do all of the mailing, what if they just walked in and decided, today I think I'll answer the phones? And they didn't know what the offers were. Somebody asked a question and they don't know how to answer it. See, every person that answers the phone has a computer there, and it has everything that you could ever want to know right there. And they can answer your questions, and they can do things. And they have to be trained, like I said, 3 weeks before they can even take an order over the phone. What if we just had somebody walk in that's in our television department, and they go in there, and they start trying to do this? It wouldn't work. People would be turned off. It wouldn't minister to people. Do you see what I'm saying? A business couldn't operate this way. People have to know what their purpose is. They have to train and put effort into preparing themselves to do that. We've got people that run our editing things here, and it takes a tremendous amount of effort to edit my television programs and put everything together and then duplicate that and maintain the quality and get these out. What if we just had somebody from our meeting department, you know, that is used on the phones to set up meetings? What if they came in and all of a sudden sat down at our editing suites and started doing things? Man, it could be a disaster. It could be a terrible thing. I hope everybody follows what I'm saying. See, we've got a purpose. And the only way that this business can function with 200 employees is everybody has to know what their purpose is, their destiny. They have to stay in that area. And we can't just do our own thing. We can't come in. And just because we're a nice person, you know, the people that work in our accounting department, they're wonderful people, but they don't have the skills to be able to answer the phones. They don't have the skills to edit and to do this. They could be a nice person. They could be sincere. They could be praying and asking God for wisdom. But I guarantee you, it's not just going to automatically happen. You have to have a purpose. You have to prepare. You have to train yourself. And it takes effort. Everybody has to do what they're called to do. And it takes a team mentality. Now, see, I think it's easier to grab hold of in a business type situation like this. But in a sense, this is the way that God looks at this world. God has a purpose. And every one of you were created by God and designed by God with your talents, your skill sets. Again, your nationality, the time that you were born, whether you're male or female, the color of your skin, everything about you was designed by God for a purpose. And if you just choose to do your own thing, and you could be sincere and ask God to bless it, but you're out of place. You're the square peg in a round hole, and you're out of place, and you're doing your own thing. Whether your intention is good or not, you aren't going to get this team. The teamwork is not going to be there. You aren't going to accomplish your purpose unless you let God orchestrate you and direct your life into the right place. I am absolutely convinced that there are some of you who you love God, you've gotten born again, you want to be a blessing. You are praying that God would use you. You have good aspirations. But honestly, you just let life kind of direct you. You didn't choose something. God hasn't revealed Himself to you. And you haven't got a purpose and you haven't heard from God. You couldn't sit there and say, I know I am where God led me to be. You can't say that. You're hoping that what you're doing is good, but you don't have any sense of direction. That would be like going into a business and just doing your own thing and hoping that it works. No, you need to hear from the boss. You need to have that boss assign you a certain job, and then you need to find out what it is, and you need to stay there, and you need to do everything and put all of your energies in to doing your part and not get over here and try and tell somebody else what they're supposed to do or try and do their job. See, God has a purpose. He has a purpose for me. And I believe that I was created by God with a purpose. He's revealed this to me, and to the best of my ability, I'm following Him and trying to fulfill that destiny. And you know what? When I'm doing what God calls me to do, there is a special anointing. You know, I love to come in and make television programs because this is what God created me to do. There's an anointing on my life to do this. It doesn't wear me down or tear me down. It builds me up. I get pumped up and fired up when I'm doing it because this is what I'm created to do. It's not work for me. We come in and we make usually 2 weeks worth of television programs in one day. That's about 8 hours worth. And, you know, some people, when they find out how much effort I put into this and all of the things, they say, I just can't believe that you could make 2 weeks worth of these 30-minute programs in one day. How can you do something like that? I'm anointed to do it. It doesn't tear me down. I get fired up through it. There's an anointing when you're doing what God calls you to do. And I'm convinced that there are some of you that you mean well, you desire for God to use you, but you are not in the place that God called you to be. And regardless of how sincere or how well-meaning you are, there is going to be a supernatural God vacuum or hole on the inside of you that's not going to be fulfilled until you do what God tells you to do. It's not up to you to just pick and choose, and whatever you do, God will bless it. I believe if you love God, there is going to be a measure of blessing on you, even if you aren't doing exactly what He told you to do. But you aren't going to reach your full potential. You aren't going to reach the satisfaction and contentment that God wants you to have until you find out His destiny for your life and start fulfilling it. And I believe that it's a holy dissatisfaction. Now, you need to make a distinction here because there's certainly a lot of dissatisfaction and depression and discouragement that comes against people that's not ordained of God. But I believe that if you are out of pocket, if you aren't doing what God told you to do, there's always going to be this little knowing in your heart that, man, there's something more. This is not all that there is. There's going to be a holy dissatisfaction, and you got to be able to distinguish. Is it just the discouragement and the things of this world that you have to resist and fight against and overcome by faith? Or is this dissatisfaction because you aren't doing what God told you to do? And I'm telling you that there are many of you watching this program that the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now. And you have tried to rebuke this, and you've tried to just go ahead and rejoice, and you've tried to ignore it and overcome it and get around it. And God is speaking through me to you right now and saying that the dissatisfaction is because you aren't where God told you to be. And it may not be rebellion. You may not know what God wants you to do. There may be some of you that it is rebellion or fear, that you know God's got something more and yet you've been afraid to step out. Whatever the reason is, you've got to discover your destiny, and then it takes an on-purpose attempt to fulfill that destiny. You've got to start moving in that direction. Praise God. I tell you, I really believe that God has spoken through me to a multitude of people all over the world today. And I encourage you that you need to respond. There's so many things. You know, I know that you can pray and seek the Lord on your own, but like I was talking about our phone center people, these are some awesome people. You could pray and have someone agree with you. Also, you can get these materials that we're offering. We have the CD set as well as this Destiny series where you will hear the testimonies of other people, and I tell you, this would be an encouragement. So listen as our announcer gives you this information, and please call or write today.
We're happy to announce that Destiny Stories, Volume 1, is now available. Contained on one powerful DVD are the stories of real people who dared to believe that God had an exciting destiny for their lives. You'll be inspired and transformed as you hear their stories. Destiny Stories is available for a gift of any amount. Request DVD T3006D. Andrew's teachings played a central role in each of these Destiny stories. today, we're offering Andrew's four-part teaching titled, How to Fulfill Your Destiny. This teaching will help you discover your God-given destiny and teach you to walk in it. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1051C or DVD album T1051D when you contact us. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The first teaching in the CD album titled Everyone Has a Destiny is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first teaching free of charge. Request teaching THT19C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Today is going to be my last day to offer you the first teaching in our CD album entitled Everyone Has a Destiny. I've been talking about this for 7 days worth of our programs teaching on destiny, and we're going to go into other things about how once you know what God's will is and His destiny, how do you fulfill it? But the first thing is you've got to get hold of this fact that everyone has a destiny, and this is what this teaching is about. Today is our last day to offer you the first teaching in this set that deals with this and shows you these things that I've been teaching about over the last week. So I encourage you to please call or write. We make our album available for a gift of any amount, but some people could not or would not send anything, so we make each individual teaching available one at a time. Today's our last day to offer you the first teaching on Everyone Has a Destiny.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth seminar June 11th through the 13th, in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd, and in South Africa for a Gospel Truth seminar July 21st through the 23rd. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth seminar August 6th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd for our Summer Family Bible Conference.